I've got enough notes here for probably 10 or 12 messages, so. No, I didn't. Let's just, again, thank the Lord. I want to thank the Lord for his grace to come on you, and I also need his grace right now to come on me, and I receive his help to minister this message. And Lord, my heart is to speak your life and encouragement to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Week before last, I tried to start a series of messages on moving in the fulfillment of God's plan for the future. I really believe God has prepared plans, and I believe that he has every purpose to fulfill those plans as we participate and move with the Holy Spirit and allow God to order our steps. So we did use Isaiah 43, 18, and 19 for our text. And do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Go ahead. Behold, I will do a new thing. Everybody say it. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So I want to just go by some of the things that I had mentioned prior to. If last time I mentioned certain things, and I said this, I said, if we look at our life through God's eyes, God's plans are life in a forward momentum. And that's a lot of the problem that we have many times in our life, is that we're stuck in the past. We haven't forgiven the past. We haven't resolved it in our heart and found closure, okay, to move forward in the present. Now, I don't have any doubt that God does not want us to be stuck in our past, okay? And so that's the wonderful thing about the cross and forgiveness, is that God forgives as though it never happened. And we don't have to live under the burden of condemnation over things in our past, okay? God is not looking back on our behalf. He is looking at what his hand has prepared for the future, okay? So I'm relating to God in the light of the fact that he orders our steps and he always prepares for us for the future. There, that gives us, of course, an anticipation to expect God to fulfill his purpose in our destiny. Okay, that I have an expectation. Okay, I don't have condemnation over my past. That's been resolved. Aren't you grateful for the cross? And I promise you that we all need mercy and forgiveness. And so God is not looking back. That is already resolved once we receive his mercy and his forgiveness. There's nothing God has overlooked. He is the perfect planner. Okay, and we looked at Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And I don't know about you, but I'm receiving with you, I'm receiving the reality that God has planned and given us a future, and he's given us a living hope that we can fulfill that future that he has prepared. I don't want something of my own. I don't want something of the world. I want, and you want, what God has legitimately and prepared for us. Okay, that's all I'm interested in. I'm not in the world trying to fulfill some vision, you know, that. So to please God means that you are acting in faith by preparing today before what he shows you springs forth in what God has planned for tomorrow. Okay. Now, specific things I have, we all have an opportunity, okay, to realize that God, one of the biggest things about God is that he's a God of restoration. He restores. He restores. I mean, that's his highest will. You know, if you've got health issues, God restores health. Do you understand that? That is just key in Scripture, okay? And so I'm not going to live under something that has happened in my past and is trying to take over. I believe that God, his highest will is to restore relationships. Okay? And obviously the cross restored a relationship between us and God, and he restores relationships towards people. That's what forgiveness does. It resolves the past, it forgives the past, and it reconciles people together in the future. We're not going to move anywhere when we're divided, but it's God who blesses people who are united in Christ, right? I mean, it just in a general saying. So to please God means you're acting in faith by preparing today before it springs forth. God can only bless one thing about our future, and that is if we're going to fulfill it in Christ, he has to bless obedience, okay, to his direction and his purpose, and that at times will be a test of our will. You ever hear the conflict of interest, the conflict of wills? Okay. And that's why it's vitally important that we submit our will. The Bible talks about unconditional surrender, but beyond that, of course, it's not a legal surrender where we have to do it. It's a loving submission because we want to do it. We want to obey God. We have a heart that wants to, okay, fulfill what God has purposed for us. And sometimes there can be a real conflict of interest there, okay? And I did I did something which I won't do this morning. I did a message quite some time ago on victory is not possible to the believer, that for the person that just lives in their emotional feelings all the time. I notice that sometimes about people. They're in and they're out. They're caught away in their emotions, and they're completely unstable to establishing themselves in the truth. And a lot of things can affect your feelings and your emotions and misguide you. So I'll do that teaching sometime, because I sometimes see it in a lot of people. They're driven by emotion. They never ground themselves in the truth. So God can only bless your obedience. Okay, and a lot of times people are just stuck in a state of heart and mind where they're not being obedient to the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit. They're just not obedient to it. They're confused, so they go this way and then they go that way, and then they have no grounding in the truth. God honors the act of preparation. Now, one of the ways that there's different ways, obviously, that we're to prepare for the future, and that could be a real. That's a message in itself that I will do. But I prepare, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I prepare for, one of the things I prepare for is restoration. God's a God that restores our past. So if you want to look at the past, the only way you can look at the past, one of the only ways you should be looking at it, is that God restores things that happened in the past. And I'm expecting restoration. You have every calling and right and purpose to expect restoration, because God, if you want to know what God's like, and sometimes, you know, people get confused about what God's like, He restores from your past to the future. He restores things that happened in the past, and He purposes to restore your future, okay, with deliver you out of what happened in the past. I mean, and, you know, we can look at example after example, whether it's David or Job. God restored those people in His grace and mercy. Okay, I don't think restoration is any more earned than anything else that God blesses us with. So I don't really have to prepare for anything for the past, other than it is overcome, it's defeated, and God will restore what happened then. All our focus and efforts is towards the future. Okay, and I'm not worried about. I'm thankful for blood moons and God's timing and all of that different stuff. But there's absolutely no reason to fear our future whatsoever, because God's in it. And, you know, say, who's the author of fear? Satan is the author of fear. Okay. So many people are stuck, as I said, they're stuck in the incidents that occurred, whether it was a divorce or it was the loss of a loved one, and they've not resolved the issue, okay? They've not found closure in things that have occurred in the past, so in a sense, they continue to relive things that occurred, mistakes they made, sins they committed, things that happened in their life, tragedies that happened in their life, and you have to find closure. I was talking to someone one time where I was talking about forgiveness and what they. I'm trying to explain this the way they had a coffin, And they put the coffin there, and then, you know, how sometimes in front you got your coffin. We don't see that too much anymore now at the expense of funerals, but, and so everyone was to write down something that they wanted to find closure in on their path, something they wanted mercy, something they wanted to forgive. And so the people lined up, and they walked towards the coffin with their piece of paper that where they wrote down, today is the day that this is going to be resolved, and I'm giving it to God, and I'm not taking it back. And so as they walked up to the casket, there was a mirror in the casket, and the first thing they saw was their self. Okay, you know what people do? Sometimes they have a harder time forgiving themselves than they even have a harder time forgiving others. And so they saw their face in that mirror. And it reminded them that you need to forgive yourself, and you really need to forgive yourself. Okay, there's no place in a Christian's life for condemnation. And, I don't want to live my life in condemnation over something that occurred. And either do you. And so a lot of times people are, for a million different ways, there have been times where I just really felt stuck in the past, you know, and I needed to get that resolved, you know. And so, on the other hand, many people destroy the peace they could have in the present by living in the unforgiveness of their past, not finding closure, stuck in past offenses, not forgiving themselves for the past failures and sin. Living in past fears, paralyzed from moving forward, their whole focus is on past hurts. That's become what their life is about. They are a prisoner to their past. Every day we remain trapped in the past, countless amazing opportunities pass us by for our future. I don't know about you, but I want to see what God has planned for our future. I want to be excited about the fact that He not only plans it, but that He fulfills it. Okay. And that's where our focus needs to be. I'm not saying we're not supposed to resolve the past. And I think that it's a shame that more Christians can't just forgive and reconcile instead of letting the offense divide them without making any effort whatsoever to fulfill the scripture and forgive one another. That's just beyond my comprehension, that the cross itself was eternal forgiveness, okay, that resolved forgave sin. You know, forgiveness is something that is one of the most powerful acts of faith we can have. And I'm really grateful for it, because you know what? It's impossible to go through life without needing forgiveness. So recognizing we are caught in the past is the first step towards God's plan of freedom. And so, you know, what I've done is I've written names or things down that I wanted to forgive, and then I purposed that I would, either bury them or burn them, you know, we need to find closure at the gravesite. Okay. And so sometimes people, like a frightened bird in an open cage, frozen with fear, refuses to acknowledge it can fly wherever it chooses. You know, they're in a cage. The cage is open, but they're frozen in fear. Frozen about life, afraid to take a risk of living, afraid that things that happened in the past will continue to happen in the future. Okay. So it's easy to allow unresolved past issues and regrets to impact heavily on the present moment. I mean, life happens, and it's very traumatic at times. And so, you know, and we just have to resolve it and give it to the Lord and believe that he knew all this was going to take place and that he had a solution to all of it. Okay. You know, sometimes we wish we had done things differently, not gotten involved with certain people or living in frustration and anger surrounding other people's behavior towards us can all lead to a wallowing in resentment and bitterness and pain. Okay. And we're so grateful for the blood of Jesus, how that resolves all of that when applied by faith and received in forgiveness. If only there was a way to turn back the clock and do things differently. If we knew that what we knew now, everything would work out perfectly, we could have avoided the trauma. That's the way sometimes we think. Spared ourselves the tears and walked away pain-free to carry on and live a perfectly happy life. But the real truth is, life doesn't happen that way. The real truth is there is forgiveness and mercy. And I'm going to just be honest with you about it. You're going to need both of them. Okay. You're going to need both of them. Okay. And so learning to live in the present is God's way of not being ensnared in the past and not fearing what could go wrong in the future. We live in fear that the past will, of course, repeat itself. One of the main reasons we struggle to live in the present moment in Christ is that we carry huge amounts of baggage around from past experiences. Once we have been hurt or something significant, I got my old notes, so it happened, the emotion etches in our minds as a warning to prevent it from happening in the future. Okay, so now you're obviously into self-defense now. You know, I'll never risk again. Well, you've got to give your life to God and let him be your defense and not worry about what's going to happen in the future. Okay, and that frees you up to move forward without fear and sometimes the unknown what God has planned for us. So we can find ourselves going over and over again, reliving the trauma, trying to make sense of everything in fear it will never happen again. Well, I'm not going to fear about a relationship going bad. I've had plenty of them where, and it couldn't Never understood it. I mean, I loved the people. And finally, I did everything I can to reconcile the situation. And then finally, I have to give it to the Lord. I can't live under the fear of that I'm going to be rejected again. You're going to be rejected again. That is what the spirit of the devil is in this world. It is about rejection. It is about condemnation. It is about accusation. Okay, it is about fear. Okay, and we've overcome all that. We're not afraid of that anymore. Christ has overcome all those things. Okay, if whatever happens, we overcome it by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But I am not going to fear the future. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to have an expectation that what happened in the past is going to happen in the future. If it happens, it happens. Okay. You know, the Bible says that, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. If you want to go on the internet, you can see every conceivable form of judgment or the end of the world or whatever, you know. And a lot of it is just a bunch of nonsense. We've got a more sure word of prophecy here. And we can find ourselves over and over again reliving the trauma, trying to make sense of everything in fear that it will happen again. I don't want to lend my mind to all that stuff. I want to be in peace about the future. And I want to be at peace about myself, okay? What we are going through is overwhelming our minds with constant negativity, and so it will be impossible to see things through God's eyes in a proper perspective, okay? I'm not confused. I'm not confused about God. I'm not confused about myself. I'm not confused about what he's planned for you and me. I'm not confused about any of that stuff because I know the mind and the will of God. I know the heart of God, okay? Everything that's going swirling around and the confusion and the to me, I look at it very clearly as that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called. It's working for my purpose. Do I understand it? Absolutely not. That's why you're not to lean on your own understanding. Okay, I'm not trying to figure the complexities of this life out any more than I'm trying to figure out, why God is so exact on these eclipses. This is God's doing. It's God's doing. He's taking care of our life. Everything around us is working if we have faith. Not everybody does. It's working for our good and his glory, okay? And so I want the Bible talks about very clearly. It says, he that is in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. And so I try not to. I mean, I'm not saying I succeed every time, but I try not to let my mind run away. I want to just keep it on the truth so that I can trust something that's real. Okay. And so I don't know about you, but number one, if you've ever thought about it, you need to dedicate your life and your future to God's purpose fulfillment. And you really need to do that. And then you really need to expect God to order your steps and fulfill your destiny. Okay. You need to really believe that that is what God is about as far as your life goes. I'm not confused about God. I find peace in His Word, and I find peace in the way He really is. And He's concerned about your future. He's concerned about my future. All right? And he's faithful to fulfill. You know, the Bible says, he that has begun a good work in us will continue to complete it. Hallelujah. I'm excited about that. Okay. So we are doing, no, that want to get away from that. So, you know, if we're going to have repetitive thinking about the past hurt, will just compound any emotion. God's grace is sufficient to deliver us from past hurt and guilt. And that's where people live. Okay, I had a message I did. Actually, I titled it Overcoming Feelings. And, of course, that was in November 28, 2004, and I had a whole message on overcoming. I'd probably title it a little bit different right now, but I really put together a good message on why, you know, people are stuck in their emotions. They're stuck in their feelings, okay? And they never get their thinking straightened out and anchored in the Word, okay? And that's not God's fault. Your mind is not being renewed. You're not practicing keeping your mind stayed on Him. Now, the Bible promises perfect peace to those whose minds are stayed on Him because they trust in Him. I find that that peace is there. The peace is real. The peace of God is eternal. It's real. It's the nature of Christ. That we can have peace and rest in the truth. Okay, and put our faith in the truth. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know where the next calamity is going to take place in the world. I don't know that, but I'm not going to fear it. I guess we're not in an earthquake zone here in Michigan, so I don't know what else can go wrong. Okay. So repetitive thinking, if you're going to have repetitive thinking, it better be the right kind of thinking. Okay. Forgiving and being forgiven is the first step in finding closure from our past. Okay. And a lot of people subconsciously live in a way that they never really forgave themselves. And they just keep bringing up some kind of a failure or something that happened that was traumatic. And deep down inside, that is what completely defeats them from a new beginning and putting their faith in God. And that's why I'm trying to say, you've got to resolve the past. You know, maybe we should get a little coffin up here and, you know, and write all that stuff in there.
It could just happen,
yeah. You know, my thought on things, as I was telling Pastor Jeff, I just told him, you know what, we need to have what we call a forgiveness Sunday. Okay. Where we can come that day and learn about forgiveness and then have a maybe even some testimonies, you know, where people really forgave and overcame their past. And then, you know, maybe we need to have a cardboard coffin up here where you've got all your issues written down, your past issues, and you're going to find closure on them, and you're going to resolve them, and you're going to put them in the casket, right? I mean, wouldn't that be? So we're going to do that. The other thought I had on that was that okay, we'd pray a prayer of forgiveness, and then we'd say something about God's grace to forgive, and then we'd have a response, and then we'd say something else. So if you could ever write that down, we go through a prayer, but it would be, Lord, we thank you, your mercy endures forever, and then a response of some kind to thank God. But I'd like to set that up, but we need to have periodic meetings for forgiveness. We really do in the body of Christ. There's too many people divided and too many people justifying that kind of behavior, and they've never even made an effort to try and resolve an offense. And so, hallelujah. How are we doing here today? Are we all, we didn't get through our message again here. So renewing the mind on the truth and learning to think properly is the next step to freedom. Only you can take responsibility for your emotions and your thought life. And you really, really have to think about what you're, the way you're acting. You know, if somebody hurt you and you forgave them or you've forgiven yourself, you know what? In God's eyes, that's dead. Quit. If you're still bringing it up, then you have not forgiven. You have not forgiven. If you continue to relive it, if you continue to bring it up, you want to forgive, but you've never taken the proper step in faith to forgive totally. Because once it's forgiven, it's forgotten. It's as though God forgot it. All right? And until you can come to that point where you've forgotten it, you haven't really taken that step of forgiveness. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to keep bringing it up. And it's going to destroy any reconciliation you could have with a person that you had unforgiveness for. Okay, it'll destroy it. You know, and so... You know, we need to have a forgiveness meeting. I'm not saying once a month even. I'm just saying every once in a while, we need to have a forgiveness service. Doesn't that sound good? I really think that would be a tremendous thing. I'd like to just get through one more thought on this, but. I'm not going to get past this. And then I had a bunch of stuff, but I had steps to freedom, but obviously we're not going to, I think I've been talking about freedom throughout the whole message. So we just, you know, we need to verbally, you know, interact with God on our speech towards, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that this has been overcome. Thank you that this has been reconciled. Thank you that relationships have been restored. That we need to talk along the lines of what God sees and what he thinks and what he does. Okay. And then, you know, I was dealing with the fact that when the past has been good, well, somebody would say, well, gee, my past, I have so many good memories. And absolutely, there I do the same thing. But then sometimes I start to think about the fact that, you know, I'll sit there and I'll think, boy, oh boy, I just want to go back there now. I want to go back and live where I used to live on the middle ground. And I get caught in that as though that is the ultimate. And maybe it was. I don't know, but. I want to live my life in the present moment of what Christ has planned and prepared. And I want to give my focus to that. It's not that you can't have fond memories, but sometimes that's all. people are caught in those fond memories and they never look towards what God is preparing now for the future, okay? And so that can be a real detriment, you know, to putting your faith and expectancy in God. He's got a good future for us, doesn't he? I mean, I really believe that. I really absolutely believe that he's prepared our future and he's going to fulfill it, and we're going to have testimonies and we're going to be blessed and we're going to see God work in our life. And so it's like what ifs, whys, only ifs are no more use. Not when deliberating the past, although we can learn from reflection, there comes a time to resolve through closure. Everybody say closure. So, you know, this morning, if you're here, we have communion here, and if you want to come up and you want to resolve something that took place, an offense, or you know, you need to learn. One of the things that we need to learn is to quickly resolve offenses. Quickly resolve offenses. Don't let them take any kind of root in your heart, because that's the kind of fruit you're going to bear then. And we've all stumbled over things that we just couldn't seem to let go. And you know, so let's bow our heads. Let's